I'd like to ask you to turn to Romans 8. Mark and I heard a great chapel on adoption in Romans 8 this Thursday, and Romans 8 is a great passage on that super exciting topic that we have been adopted into God's family. Prone to wonder, that's all of us, isn't it? And yet our anchor is secure. Romans 8 is great on both of those. If you're prone to wonder, you need to read Romans 8 once a day for a year. And if you're not prone to wonder, you need to read Romans 8 probably once a day for 2 years. This is just the best. And one question before I read Romans 8. Are we relying on the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do? 20 times in Romans 8, the Spirit is mentioned, completely different than Romans 7, where I do what I don't want to do, and what I don't want to do, I do. We think focusing Paul on a little bit of his own strength, but Romans 8, the Holy Spirit will do what in us. And I want to read the passage, but stop briefly to talk about the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That may be the theme sentence that all the rest of the passage comments on. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So the Spirit sets us free from sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We can walk by the Spirit now, and the Spirit has no longer condemns us because sin has been condemned. I love that. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The Spirit changes the way we think, our mindset. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So the Spirit brings life and peace for the believer. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So only those that know Christ, the Spirit dwells in them. And what a great deposit, guaranteeing what's to come, is the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead also will do a great work in you. Verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The only way to put to death the deeds of the body is through the Spirit. And we cannot do that on our own. That is a fruitless attempt when we try that on our own. But the Spirit will do that in you and for you and through you. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This is the great passage on adoption right here. We are sons of God through the Spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So the Holy Spirit convinces us that we're truly His, that we're His children. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. And now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. 26 and 27 are incredible verses about the Holy Spirit's ministry in us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So he helps us in our weakness. When we don't know how to pray, he prays for us. He intercedes for us continually, never taking a break in that intercession. Look in verse 27. He who searches our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit knows us perfectly. The Spirit is God, knows him perfectly, knows how to intercede for us perfectly. Every day we can count on that, and we know that. And we know, I think, because of that, that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? God is for us. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we could wander away to be lost from God's saving right hand, I think we would do it, but we can't. We can't. The Holy Spirit keeps us. There's great security in that. And as we go before our Lord to confess our sin, possibly you, like I have, even this week, have not relied on the Spirit, not enjoyed these great and precious promises as we should, or possibly tried to do things on our own that only the Holy Spirit can do. Let me give you some time to confess, and we will go before the Lord together. Gracious Father, I'm so thankful for Romans 8. I'm so thankful there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We deserve it, but our Lord Jesus took that punishment for us to the cross and has wiped away those sins, washed away those sins as far as the east is from the west. We thank you that these present sufferings, even that we are enduring because of our adoption as your sons, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Continue through your Spirit to convince us that we're yours, that we're your children, and that we would function like that. We would enjoy you as our Father, and we would race to you often when we need you, which is continuing. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit's intercession, and for the Lord Jesus who intercedes for us day and night. Thankful that you're for us and no one can be against us, and maybe most of all that you have given us your Son. And now we know that along with him, you are going to graciously give us all things by your Spirit. Continue to convince us of these great truths. And Lord, as we wonder, when we're so prone to wonder, we thank you that you forgive us, you draw us back to yourself, and that nothing can separate us from your deep love. Convince us of that today, and use Mark in a tremendous way to teach your word for your glory. In Jesus' name.